Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I'm very happy to have the Greenlees here. We've got Alex Greenlee and Todd Greenlee, and Alex and Todd made the film All Eyes. But actually, first I'll say hey. Hey, you two.
Hey.
Hey there.
Hello.
We are on Zoom, and so I'll warn you right now, we're not going to talk over each other, but sometimes there's this weird micro delay in Zoom, and you listen back to it, and you're like, how come we're interrupting each other so much? And I think it's just the delay between, you know, the electrons. You're both in LA right now, yeah?
I'm in Oklahoma.
Oh, Oklahoma. So we are managing to have a conversation on Zoom with two people in LA and one in Oklahoma. So I don't know, that's kind of cool.
It is cool.
It's worth a micro delay.
It is.
People should go see All Eyes. They should just go to Tubi or even better, Amazon Prime Video, and type in All Eyes in search and watch just an outstanding indie horror action thriller film. Multi-genre.
Multi-genre, yeah. It kind of covers all those grounds there.
All that. And there will be clickable links in the show notes. But this, we just did a great interview. So if you want to learn all about Todd and Alex and their film, listen to the podcast before this one, because this podcast is just these two gentlemen answering the Discover Indie Film 4 questions, which are: name three favorite films, name a film that's underrated, name a film that's overrated, and name a lesser-known film for people to seek out. And no rules. I'm not wearing a black and white striped shirt with a whistle. So, you know, if you name four favorites, I won't stop you. If you name two underrated, and if you don't want to answer overrated, lots of people pass on overrated because they have too much respect.
I have an opinion. I'm joking. No.
I love it. And I always say, overrated isn't necessarily an insult. Like,
no. And I don't like to view any. I'm not the type of person who's like, that movie just like, ugh. Because, you know, a lot of people worked on it and a lot of people, you know, it's. You
but I'll say, like, I love, like, one of my overrated films. Well, I won't name it, but it's from a filmmaker who I love, and I think it's their worst, their least great. But it won them an Oscar for Best Picture. And I'm like, how come Hollywood is giving them an Oscar for this one and not for the films that they made that are better? So that's why I call something overrated that I like.
Which one is that?
I think I know. Is it The Departed?
No, it's No Country for Old Men.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a huge Coen guy. But that one ain't in my Coen top 10.
You know what's their most underrated is Serious Man. No one really talks about that one.
Really? For me, it's Miller's Crossing. I think that's perfection.
That one's really good.
A lot of people haven't even seen it.
Yeah, Inside Llewyn Davis is another underrated Coen Brothers movie. I think that one's fantastic. And I hated that movie the first time I watched it. Second time I watched it, it's not one of my favorite movies of theirs. I'm like, it's weird that happened that way. I think they're unique that way.
You're getting me on a topic. I'm supposed to just have you both answer the question. We can reel that in. Viewings,
yeah,
is so key, especially with filmmakers who care about every detail like the Coens, right?
100%, yeah. 100%.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, that's where Miller's Crossing, every time I see it, I just think it's perfection, and and I see Fargo, each time I see Fargo I'm like, this is really charming, but I actually love it less, a little less.
I feel you there, so anyway
this ain't about me. That was the last Jeff Howard opinion you're gonna hear unless I chime in on your answers. So normally I love to have, when there's two people on the podcast, just take turns answering the first question. And then when you answer the second question, whoever went second gets to go first. So who wants to lead with three favorite films?
I'll go first because I'm curious to hear what Todd has to say. But I think my top three, and it probably changes any day you ask me, it's going to be different. I think just as far as the movies I keep coming back to, I think Parasite is one of the better movies to come out in the past, you know, 20 years. It's such a good movie. Just the pacing and the shift in tone and all that. I think it's just brilliant. The acting is amazing. The writing's great. directing is amazing. Another movie I go back to all the time is Lost in Translation. I think that's just one that, I watch it. I go back to that movie at least once a year, and I just really, the tone of it, the way the movie makes me feel, the performances are both great. That movie's just solid. And then the last one would probably, I have so many favorites. I think The Assassination of Jesse James is like one that I always go back to, and I think just looks amazing. It's one of the, I remember getting goosebumps after watching that with the ending scene of that movie and being like, man, what a great movie, you know, and the performances were all amazing. And even the minor characters, like Sam Rockwell in that movie, and he's really good. And, and I think it's Brad Pitt's best performance, in my opinion, is in that movie. I think an honorable mention, I have three honorable mentions, and that would be, definitely There Will Be Blood. That doesn't have to be, I don't even have to explain why that's on my list. About Time is kind of weird because I just really dig that movie. I had no interest in watching that movie when it came out. It was like a romantic comedy. And then, man, that really hooked me because it's not even about the romantic aspect of it. It's more about a father-son thing. You know, it's not even, and it's grounded kind of, but it's not. It's like about time travel. That's my two honorable mentions.
I think my list kind of similar to Alex's. I think There Will Be Blood's top for me. I think that movie is just a perfect movie as far as cinematography, performance, directing, setting, because the setting is pretty similar to what we like to do. You know, on a similar note, like Last Picture Show, I think is an incredible movie.
Yeah.
Like as far as like what they did for Small Town, it's like this ensemble kind of piece, and each character, like, there's a character that's like a farmer that has like one big scene and he just kills it. And it's like, so that we use that as an example a lot. So There Will Be Blood, Last Picture Show. And then I guess, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I think is like one that I just like, I could watch that movie a million times. It just has, I love a lot of Tarantino stuff, but that one is just like, I don't know. The tone of that is so like awesome. And I just couldn't watch that movie a lot.
You know, two movies on our list. I had Parasite on my list, which I'm assuming is on top five. Yeah, but Parasite and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, two movies we both watched theaters together. And there's like moments we literally were just like hitting each other. We were like this.
We had a twin moment. We didn't even have to say anything.
I remember there's two in both movies. Like what was in Parasite? It's the doorbell ring, and I remember both of us at the same time just looked at each other. Like we knew what was going on. And then Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, it was the scene where he
at the ending
takes out the cigarette, you know, and we were just like, oh, this is about to go crazy, you know. It's just pure cinema.
Really fun. I mean both lists are superb, and I'm just gonna go ahead and be selfish and mention that There Will Be Blood is the reason why I shit talk No Country for Old Men, because No Country for Old Men beat There Will Be Blood for the Best Picture Oscar, and that's just intolerable, actually.
I do agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's out of this world great. And actually, I love the mention of About Time, because deep down, I feel like there should be a shrine in my home to Richard Curtis.
Yeah.
I mean, is there a better screenwriter than Richard Curtis? I mean, when you look at his list.
I think you're right. I think the way he's able to accomplish with that movie, you're just like, man.
I mean, I go all the way back with him to The Tall Guy with Jeff Goldblum and Emma Thompson. Like, I think it was the first thing he wrote that he didn't direct it. And I saw that like at a little art house place in LA in the 80s. And I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. But anyway, second question is a film that is underrated. And I guess, yeah, Todd goes first this time.
Oh, underrated. You know, one I don't really hear a lot about, but I love it, is The Invitation. It's this kind of thriller, came out a few years ago. that movie just has a cool kind of turning point in it. And I just don't, you know, I don't really hear a lot of people talking about it, but that movie's like, it has a cool tone. It's all in one house with a group of people. And I just always love that movie. And I would want to replicate some of that stuff because it's a great movie. Yeah, I think it came out in 2012 or something. What's that? Or when?
What was that again? Which one was Invitation? It? Oh, yeah. That's a highly underrated movie. That's a great movie.
I don't think I saw it, so.
Oh, it's great. Go in very like.
Don't read anything about it. Yeah.
About it. Just go in, you know.
Right. And actually, so there's a 2022 and a 2015 and a 2016. So cool. You're talking about the one with Logan Marshall Green?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
All right, so that's for those listening, if you're using IMDb, you want the 2015, yeah. The Invitation.
Yeah, and I think it takes place in the Hollywood Hills. But it is like this great, you legit will not know where it's going. It takes all these crazy turns, and it's a great movie. And it's definitely something I feel like Alex and I would make. It's like the same kind of stuff.
I think for me, it would be... The Lobster. I don't think anyone really talks about that movie as much as they should. I think it's such a fantastic, weird movie that just works.
And yeah, that was my introduction to Yorgos Lanthimos. That movie just blew my mind.
My wife's really not into those movies, and she loved it. And I was like, man, this tells you something that like. This movie just works on many levels. You know, the performances are amazing, but the story, I always love it when I hear a story that I'm like, that's so cool. I can't wait to see that one.
Right. Because it's such a far out concept. It's just, and then when it works, like if someone had told you the idea, the premise, you would have said, well, you can't make a movie out of that.
Yeah. But somehow he does. And it looks beautiful too. Yeah. It's just a great, well, really well shot movie.
For sure. And forget about the acting in that one, right? I mean,
yeah.
That cast is ridiculous.
Man, Colin Farrell is one of those actors. He's on my dream list. I would love to work with that guy. He's so good.
And I'm getting him and John C. Reilly on screen.
Oh. Yeah. And everyone's great in that movie.
And Rachel Weisz, yeah. So
Olivia Colman's in that movie. She's great.
Charlie Gainsbourg's in it, right?
Everyone stands out in that film.
Yeah, really good. Really good.
All right, well, Alex gets to lead off with his opinions on Overrated. I'm rubbing my hands together for this.
I'm going to say one that I think is definitely Todd's also. It's one that every once in a while I'll be like, you remember this movie won Best Picture? And it's Nomadland. I just like, to me, it's just the, like, It's not a bad movie. It's just not like...
Highly forgettable.
It's super forgettable. And I remember every once in a while, a text time, do you remember that movie won Best Picture? And we're like, oh my God, I forgot that. You know, it's just like, it's a weird, I don't know. It just didn't do anything for me. There's way better movies that year. I don't know.
No,
I'm going to leave it at that just because I respect everything that went into that movie. And I respect, I'm sure the filmmaker's a great person. I just didn't like the movie. Yeah, it didn't do anything for me.
And it's great for what it is, right? It's a great look at it's really a slice of life of a really unique community.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just not, if it had been this kick-ass little indie film with Frances McDormand doing this amazing performance and like it got, you know, an Independent Spirit Award, we'd all be like, oh man, you got to check out this film. It's really unique.
Mm-hmm.
But the Oscar for Best Picture going to something that is, you know, like you said, a little forgettable and maybe like, you know, a lot of times you're bored and I guarantee no one's watched Nomadland without checking their phone.
Oh, and that's always a sign when you're looking, you're like, my time, how long has it been going? You know?
Yeah.
So fair. That's fair. That your only one?
I'm just going to leave it at that. I have more, but I think that's the one that just really comes to mind for me.
Fair enough. I thought you were going to name one of those like all time, you know.
I have
sometimes
some.
People,
and I think,
sometimes people like throughout 2001, I'm like, ooh, you got balls.
I love that movie.
You crazy.
Yeah, it's funny. That Nomadland was definitely mine. Because like, I just, I, you know, I, it's a movie I never it just won Best Picture, I feel like, not that long ago. And I just never, I always forget it exists. But it was like, I remember watching it, it was like, and that, I think that's like, the whole time I was watching, I was like, this is a good movie, but I'm never going to watch this movie again. Mm-hmm. And I have not watched it again. I think on a similar note, though, is The King's Speech. Because like that movie came out when The Social Network came out. I think Social Network, it beat Social Network at the Oscars. I think Social Network is, not only was it the greatest movie that year, but it was
one
like
of the best movies of all time.
Movies of the past, like, you know, however many years, like 20 plus years or whatever. And it's like, it's just, it embraces, it like captures this time and place perfectly. And yeah, somehow it didn't win. So yeah, King's Speech, I think for me, it's a great, it's a good movie. It just is like, not, you know, not the best.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I feel you. And yeah, King's Speech kind of has that cheat. I remember a professor I had once, I think he referred to it as either rent a landscape or rent a time period. So when you set a film, you know, right at the cusp of World War II and you know, King is talking to his people on radio or whatnot, and you know, so it kind of elevates people's opinion of it just because it's a classical important time, you know, just like, you know, just like, well, A Room with a View wins, you know, best production design or whatever, because they rented a period. Like, it's a period piece. What are you going to do?
Shakespeare and Love somehow beat Saving Private Ryan, because it was like, I mean, they're both period movies. Yeah. It was like weird. Yeah.
Whereas you both you mentioned The Social Network, and it's like, you know, that was about Zuckerberg. So we're not going to give it an Oscar.
Yeah. At the time, it was like pretty, still fairly new topic. And it's like, I don't know. Even at the time, I was like, this movie is definitely capturing like
a moment.
Moment in time, and in a really cool way. It's a great movie. I rewatched that movie a lot. I think it's a really amazingly made movie.
And Fincher's a master, right? I mean, that's why you mentioned There Will Be Blood. I mean, you talk about masters. I always joke that Paul, when I watch a Paul Thomas Anderson film, I feel like a little baby being held by. You know, like he's just like, here, let me take you on a cinematic journey. And like, everything is done well.
Even Punch Drunk Love for Paul Thomas Anderson. That's a movie that like a lot of people don't watch. And it's like, it's Adam Sandler is so good in that movie. And it's like just a great, it captures that social anxiety.
That's another movie that we both hated the first time we watched it. And then the second time we watched it, I was like, oh my God, this movie's so good. I don't know why I hated it. I didn't like it the first time.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Oh man, I love that film from the first time, but what are you going to do? And he's so, and Emily Watson's amazing in it. But that first time he kicks that glass door, breaks the sliding glass door, you're like, whoa,
this
movie just took a turn.
Hey, it feels so bad for him. His sisters are all, like, not that great people, but yeah.
It's a crazy, crazy good movie. All right, well, just one more to go. And that is a lesser known film that people should seek out.
I have two. I have quite a few, but there's two I can kind of think of. It's funny. One's called Honeyland, and it's a documentary. It was made in 2019, and it's funny because I think back, I'm like, man, that movie's super underrated. But then if you look back, it was nominated for Best Foreign Film, and it was nominated for Best Documentary, and which is an insane accomplishment within itself. And it's just such a fantastic documentary about this lady who lives in North Macedonia, and she's a beekeeper, and it's super quiet. It's a very quiet movie, and then she gets these neighbors, and at first she's very she has all this hospitality towards them, and they get their kids are interested in what she's doing, and she's doing it the old-fashioned way, and then they begin to realize her neighbors are like, oh, there's a way to make money from doing this bee stuff, you know, and then their bees start like fighting her bees, and it's just like, man, that movie just accomplishes so many things. And it's a true story. And it's like, the filmmaker is just a fly on the wall. And you're like, how the hell did they capture this moment and, you know, and this life and this lady and who is she and how they even stumble upon the middle of this story is amazing. And then the other story that no one really talks about is this movie called Mask that came out, I think, last year or 2 years ago.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And it's directed by the guy who played the stoner in Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
He wrote it and directed it. And it's just four actors, and Dowd is in it. Jason Isaacs and Dowd are both in it. And it's these four actors, these four characters, and they're in a church. And they're both of their kids had, one kid was a victim and the other was the shooter. And it's a school shooting. And, they're in a church talking about it, the aftermath. And, what a great movie.
All the actors have like a scene in it where they're just like, and you know, Aunt Dowd's in it, and she's in that movie Compliance also, which is another movie like not a lot of people watch. And it's like everyone has these amazing scenes.
But then that the guy who wrote it and directed it is like that dude, like the guy who's from Cabin in the Woods, and he's so
that movie came out, no one talked about it. I feel like it was like
got nothing. It got no nominations or anything. But that movie is really good, and I highly recommend that one.
And it's Mass, MASS.
Yeah. Yes.
Mass, like a. Right, like a religious mass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
great movie.
Excellent. Yeah, goes. By the way, you mentioned Cabin in the Woods. Fucking hell! Good. All right,
love that movie
for sure. And yeah, now it's Todd's turn.
I think mine is sorry. You know, I'll do a documentary also because I love documentaries. I like Vernon, Florida. I think is one I just watched recently, and like it's just such a great. It's a documentary. Sarah Morris, and it's one of his earlier movies, and the characters are just like how these feel like they were written, but they're real people, and it's so funny, and it's also not that long. It's kind of a short documentary. That one's really good, and then one I just watched recently, it just came out, Past Lives, I thought was really good. It's A24, and that's just such a great kind of quiet movie. It goes in directions that like way against the type of that kind of movie. And everyone does a great job in it. And that was definitely one of the last ones I saw recently that I was like, man, this is like, I want to keep seeing movies like this where it's like, you know, on paper doesn't sound interesting, but when you watch it, you're like, this is just such a great human movie. So Past Lives. Yeah, definitely is a new one.
Excellent. Needless to say, I missed that one. Although I honestly, I don't see enough. I watch so many movies for the festivals now that I don't get to the theaters much.
I don't know how you have time. Yeah. How do you have time to watch other movies besides like,
I don't, I only watch movies when I get invited, like a friend who's a TV Academy member or something invites me to a free screening. And then I'm like, okay, I'll go see Oppenheimer. Cause I want to see it, but like, I couldn't make time for it otherwise.
Yeah,
I actually have to jump. I have to get back to work, y'all. I have to jump off. Sorry.
No, you don't have to listen to my outro.
No.
That's Alex taking off. No problem.
It's good seeing you. No, this was fun.
Yeah. Thank you for doing it.
I'll stay on.
All right, Todd's staying on, and I will just start talking while we wait for Alex's face to disappear.
Oh, you didn't get the picture.
Oh, motherfucker.
Son of a
bitch. I never get the picture.
Oh,
that's
God.
Okay. I mean, recorded video, the funny thing is I'm sure as a director, you've noticed, if you ever freeze frame video, people look terrible. They actually have to stop for a moment and pose.
You know what? But I was actually going to take a screen grab when you mentioned it. And then I was like, he'll get it. And then I as soon as Alex was getting off, I was like, oh my God. He's
See how we forget? But anyway, I'll be able to find something.
Take a picture of me and then duplicate it and just change the shirt color to be like, you know.
No, I mean, we were on for like 2 hours. I'll be able to find something.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you everyone for listening. You just heard Todd and Alex Greenlee talk about Answer the Four Questions. And I hope you watch those films they recommended. If you want to learn more about them and their film All Eyes, as well as many of their other films, just go to homefrontpictures.com, and that'll also be a clickable link in the show notes. And I am going to spit out a bunch of websites and social media handles to get us out of here. Thank you for listening to the Discover Indie Film Podcast. If you want to learn more about this podcast or the TV series on Amazon Prime Video that it gave birth to, just go to discoverindiefilm.com, and it's at DIF Wins on social media. All Eyes won awards, won the Grand Jury Award for Best Feature Film Horror at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. We hold that one every November, so just go to shermanoaksff.com, and it's at shermanoaksff on social media. There's a sister festival every June called Film Invasion Los Angeles. You can learn more at filminvasionla.com, and it's at Film Invasion LA on social media. And just be nice and go to watchtvhigh.com and check it out. It's a streaming service full of all kick-ass, wonderful indie films. And, you know, they are particularly good to watch if you can use marijuana responsibly, but you don't have to. You don't have to be high. You really don't. But that's why it's called watchtvhigh.com. And it's on Roku, Apple TV, Amazon TV, Amazon Fire TV, Android TV, Android Mobile, and iPhone. So if you just type in TVHI in those app stores, you can get a free trial. In fact, if you use the code STREAM420 at watchtvhigh.com, you get a free month trial instead of a free week. That's, you can watch a lot of good shit in a month. Well, I'm going to thank Todd for still being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
And we'll thank your brother, Alex, for having done everything but the last 2 minutes.
No, it was fun. I could talk hours and hours about filmmaking and movies and everything. So.
Right. I mean, it's really nice to get a chance to discuss it. Cause you know, your life is steeped in film and you know, and sometimes our friends and family get annoyed if we want to talk about it all the time.
So it's always great to have other people, you know.
Right. All right. Well, thank you, Todd. And yeah, thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you.